we're still, hopefully we'll finish studying tribulation today.
Well, I saw tribulation
yesterday. Yeah. Whoa. In fact, you remember, that's what really a type of it is, because the idea that the basic meaning of phlispus, or the word for tribulation, is a squeezing, you know, pressing down. And so it is what happens in birth. But it's the birth of the bride that's going out in terms of...
And the suffering is all over that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
amazing. All right. And you remember also the best way to describe the whole process of what we say is phlispus, tribulation, is making wine. Starting from the crushing of the grapes all the way to the going through the seven lees. And it had to be wine that was suitable for the temple, if it's going to be the ultimate mystery of the bride. And then you remember the seven lees, where it had to go, it stomped and crushed and stomped on more and stomped on more, and then it lets this sit a while. But then finally, if it meets certain standards, then it goes into the first of seven vats. After all of the crap, a whole bunch of the crap has already been gone. And it sits there and ferments. And it bubbles up. And that's what prophesying is. It's fermenting. And it bubbles up everything. There's no more foretelling, it's forthtelling. So as it bubbles up, and then it goes, the dregs go down to the bottom, and it's carefully, with a special tool, the top crap is sloughed off, and then slowly poured into the next of the seven vats, or lees, or whatever you call them, until a wine is perfected, and then it's the best wine there is in the world. But it's this long, slow, careful process. But all of it has to do with getting rid of any kind of, you know, anything that isn't of it. Anyway, let's go to first. Where do we go? First Thessalonians. Chapter 1 first. Start in verse 5. Chapter 1. For our gospel came not unto you in a word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Much affliction is to receive the word. That's not taught these days. All right, go to chapter 3, verse 3. Chapter 3. See, no, I don't know what verse yet. Huh?
What did you say?
Chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Well, this is verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now again, we are appointed to affliction.
Yeah.
That's an incredible little sentence. Now, every time I read this part, I flew into Athens, and then we went all the way over up in Mars Hill and the place. And then next we went to Corinth, but then next we went to Thessalonica. It's called Thessalonica now, but it just I don't know. It shouldn't, but I guess it made the books of the Bible come alive for me when I was at those places. And Thessalonica was such a beautiful city. It's just unbelievable. And this huge lake. Is it the Black Sea? My geography has failed. All right, just go one more verse. Go down to verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. In other words, the stuff that Paul was going through, the fact that these believers were faithful, made it worth it for him. All right, now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Let's start in verse 3. We're going to read from 3 to 6. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecution and tribulation that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And in verse 7, the trouble is also a philispus. So, I mean, when you read these with any integrity, you find out, you know, this thing about being appointed, you can't reign with him unless you suffer with him. You can't, I mean, all this crap about the new, that trivializes suffering by saying that if you're suffering because you have no faith or you didn't give enough money, or some other crap, it's just obscene. What?
Oh, I'm stuck in the childbirth mode of how you use drugs to not suffer. I mean, that's common, not just in the hospital, but marijuana and all the other drugs, because you want to escape some sort of suffering. You don't want that tribulation.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Hebrews.
But without it, it's like if you don't suffer with him, you don't reign.
Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 31, chapter 10. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. So again, it's afflictions in 32. And 33. Lispus. All right, let's go to chapter 11. Let's start in verse 33. This is talking about the fruit of faith. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. So afflicted, there is the word in 37. But just think about that. Think about how we cheapened this mystery of God in this generation.
36 and 37 is everything you don't want. This is, you spend all your time avoiding anything that looks like.
Yeah, but it's sometimes like, I was thinking about, you know, again, all the crap that's happened to me since I've been a believer.
Yeah.
I should, you know.
Anybody else up
there? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not something you don't run around and look for tribulation. I mean, that's just stupid. But it's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you're faithful in Him. All right, let's go to James, next chapter. Just turn one page, you should be in, or two pages, you should be in James, chapter 1.
I'm already here.
God, that's really amazing, Ronnie.
It's not even your own Bible.
Verse
21.
Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And that's the hearer of the word and not the doer. And he's looking into the perfect law of liberty, but he's seeing his own face. What does this mean to me? What do I do about this? Everything is the I motive. He memorizes, but it's all the I motive. So that guy's messed. Anyway. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So it counts as doing the work by looking and seeing. You see the perfect law of liberty, and the rest is God's business. Anyway, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Now,
I laughed at, because people are always accusing me of, especially Nick Novello, he thinks I should be a lot nicer and speak nicer. And
huh?
What?
That's a rare thought.
All right, let's look at a few in Revelation, and then we'll call it a day. As you can imagine, the affliction of Lispus, of tribulation, is used much in the book of Revelation. So let's go to chapter 1, Revelation 1. This is just starting in verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with or in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patros, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Your brother and companion in tribulation. All right, let's go to 2. Chapter 2, verse 8. This is the message to the church at Smyrna. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna. Right. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews or say they are Christians or whatever, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So again, it's tribulation twice, both. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Now let's go just to one. I don't want to. Well, let's read a little bit of it. I like this. I like these letters. Let's start in verse 18. We're still in chapter 2. And this is to the church of Thyatira. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. here, tribulation is a form of punishment. I think that's the first time we've seen that. All right, I'll go to chapter 7, Revelation. Verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which were arrayed in white robes, and whence cometh they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So what he saw were the ones that came out of great tribulation. Now, it means that they endured in great tribulation. They didn't faint in their mind. They didn't use their arm of understanding to escape the tribulation. They endured.
So you're saying faint is when you turn away from him.
You faint when you return to you in any way. Because the fainting is returning to the I motive. No one, I listened some last night to
religious TV.
Jeff records programs on my television, so it's always on. When I turn the TV, it's on a religious channel. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, where do these guys come from? Where do they get what they're saying? I mean, they have to ignore 90% of the Bible to come up with theology they come up with. Anyway, I don't feel like talking anymore. Well, let me just say, the verb form of tribulation is the Greek word Libo. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's see it. Just so we said we say it. I can finish my notes. 1 Thessalonians. What? Chapter 3. I think I'm going to have to get out my new Bible.
1 Thess, chapter 1.
Chapter 3.
Well, it's just the one verse. Let's start verse one. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We just studied that. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Now the verb form there is tribulation is this thlibo. squeeze. I don't know why I put that in there. I had a purpose when I put it in the notes, but I can't remember why.
Personal.
Huh?
It's personal.
No, it's not. I wouldn't have talked about it if it was personal. I never talked about personal stuff, or about anybody's personal stuff.
Yeah, right.
Right. Shut up, all of you. Anybody have any response to we're done with tribulation, we're done with temptation, and we're done with tempting? So now we'll proceed onward.
I think you need to do a grand summary tomorrow, being Friday and all, because what we learned.
Well, I think it would be good if you told us what you learned.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Manana, you always got some kind of homework, but you never do it.
I just never tell you that.
Oh, take a big guy.